I really sense that what God wants to do today, there's an anticipation in my body, in my soul and spirit this morning that God wants to do something. And I believe that this is a part of it. So I want you to listen and take it in and receive and do it in your worship to be prepared for the word. To turn around, employ, to transform, to bring over or persuade to a particular belief or view or course, to change or turn from one state to another. Is this not good? To alter in form, substance, or quality. See, it doesn't matter if you've been walking with God for years and years, or you just barely even know Him, or don't. There's parts of us where He wants to employ, change, alter, convert our soul, our mind, our view of things. So when we're in worship, allow the Spirit of God to wash over us. Allow God to minister to us in a way we've never done. Do you mind if I pray real quick? Father, I thank You for this time. I thank You that You're going to do something, something bigger than what we thought today. Let every heart be open to Your Spirit. Holy Spirit, we welcome You. Come and transform and move us towards You today, God. Come and change us in a way we have never been changed. Touch, move. I love You, God. I love You, and I sense Your presence so strong. Let those be open to sensing Your presence today. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, if we will, let's give our minds and emotions a pause. Let's do what I said at the beginning. Let's listen to this song. Let's know that we're looking for the Spirit that leads us into the presence of God and the presence of God into His Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I don't care what the words are saying. Please remember this. The whole focus of this song is to look in God's face with love in our heart and say, there is none like You. There is none like You. Patrick, if you'll play that again, if you all will stand in reverence to our God, not for me, but for Him. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Can you hear angels singing? Speak to you this morning. Open your hearts to Him. Get excited about God. He's excited about you. The God that we serve keeps covenants. He's full of mercy. He wants to show us a way. Hallelujah. Praise You. Father, this morning, let's pray. Father, this morning, we say again, thank You for Your presence that's already here. We're greedy people. We're still hungry and we're still thirsty for You. Through the preaching and teaching, through the musician, through Your presence, change us this morning. More than that, heal us this morning. More than that, direct us this morning. Cause us to leave this place a changed spirit that causes a changed individual. for that. We know it's been said. We know we've said it in faith. Now we receive it with thanksgiving in advance. And everybody that agrees says amen. Please be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your obedience to the Spirit this morning. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Are you all ready for God this morning? I am. Praise the Lord. Have you got your Bibles ready? That song said that He is a covenant keeper with those that diligently serve Him. Now all we have to do is know in our heart that we diligently serve Him, and we know the covenants are true. Amen?
That's right.
Y'all do know that you hold a contract in your hand, the Bible. And it's the most unusual contract. It was written before you were born. Promises given to you that you never knew about, and you're learning. And the most unusual thing is it's given by someone that cannot break it. Right. Listen to me. Cannot break it. We cannot judge God by our experiences with humans. This is a God that never, ever breaks His word and cannot.
Right.
And the most interesting part about that contract is He signs it in His Son's blood with this covenant. If I ever break my word with you, I'll kill myself. Did you know it says that? Now, how many of you think God's going to kill Himself?
No, sir.
It's not going to happen, is it? So now as we open the word, as we read, we know every one of them. Every word that we read will never, ever pass away until all is fulfilled. Now, let me tell you one other thing. You may think I'm a little crazy, but that's okay. It's like before the foundations of the earth, God knew us. We know that, right? Before the foundation of the earth, according to Jeremiah 29:11, He had good thoughts about you and your life and your future. Just like He did about the earth. And what you need to remember is that the earth was established on His good thoughts. It was changed from a form without void unto something that was beautiful, as you and I. Before the foundations of the earth, all we have to do is obey. So He's built this tremendous blessing account before the foundations of the earth. And the command is, choose you this day life and not death.
Right.
Draw from the well of this blessing. Don't go the other direction. Now, all we have to do is take Him serious. Amen? All right. Jesus was His not only His proof, but His guarantee. That was His signature in blood from His most valuable possession so that He could give us His most value. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Go ahead and begin to turn to Daniel as I tell you this. As we were gone, a friend of ours that has just ever since the day he was born again, he's been walking in tremendous faith. Tremendous faith. Tremendous faith. God responds to tremendous faith.
Yes, He does.
I've seen in times of witnessing where someone tried to hit this man and they hit something but they couldn't hit him. I've seen people healed instantly. I've seen him healed instantly at our prayers. It's what gave him such tremendous faith. But as we went this time, the faith seemed to have gotten ill. You know what I mean by that? All of a sudden he turns to provisions of this world instead of the provisions of the Word. I want you to listen to me carefully. There are provisions offered to you that are offered by the world, and then there are provisions offered to you by the Word, the man Jesus.
Right.
Our God, our Father, offered freely. We are to choose you this day, life or death. That ought to be plain enough. What, my question to you is, what would cause a man to begin to slip backwards in his faith? For those things to become real, to not be so real. What would cause that? Well, let me ask you this. Is it a weaker God?
No.
Has God ever failed?
No.
Has He ever given us reason to doubt Him?
No.
See, you answer real quickly. That was a trap.
Oh, it must be the God.
So why is it that we have a struggle once in a while?
Because of us.
Well, I mean, that's the place I put you in. It's called a corner. There's only one answer. But we do admit, right, that we struggle sometimes. So we have to say, and please, in your walk in this life, one of your biggest battles will be to your friends, your loved ones, even to your enemies in the church, to tell them it's never God's fault. It's got to be something you did. Hardest thing in the world, look somebody in the face and say you're suffering because of something you did. Now, we're not talking about sin. Please don't hear me say this. People want to be sinners. I don't know why that is. We can go through struggles without sinning. Amen. And I'm fixing to give you a couple examples. It's the struggle is not the problem. Our faith or our lack of it is our problem. Does that make sense to you? I walk up to a stairs and I look at the stairs. In our Christian walk, most of the time we go, oh my God, stairs. In the world, we just walk up them. Why? Because we're trying to get up. Right? We don't sit there and grumble and mumble. But we see stairs or we see a climb in the spirit, and the first thing we say is, oh my God. God, you're going to ask me to climb that? In other words, we have no perspective of what's up there. If we had in our heart truly what was up there, we would not hesitate to climb. Got one that agrees. The title of the message this morning is, Will God Fail This Time?
No.
Well, I got news for you. I've walked this walk for quite a while, and I've talked to a lot of people, and I've met a lot of situations. And in most cases, Christians act like that God might fail this time. Why? Because they can become afraid, and they become worried, and they become panicky, and they just let their mouths overload their spiritual behinds. They don't say what they're supposed to say. So I'm going to tell you a little story. I'm going to give you two scenarios. The first scenario is going to be what happens when we obey and listen to and trust the Word of God. And second, I'm going to show you what happens when we do not. In both of these cases, remember this. The promise of God was already there. It didn't come in the midst of the struggle. Y'all got that?
Yeah.
You don't have anything. The Bible says there's nothing that you run into that's not common to man. So don't get to feeling too special. Well, you know what happens when we feel special? We want special treatment. And God has given every one of us special treatment, therefore it's not special. Oh, I'm just telling you the truth now. Turn to Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. You know this story. You've heard it a lot of times, and if I'm around, you're going to hear it again. Stories in the Bible are there for our learning. Meditate, study. I'm going to read this from a version I don't usually read it from, but you'll catch it. King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet high and 9 feet wide and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then he sent messages to all the princes, governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, rulers of all the provinces of his empire to come to the dedication of this statue. When they had all arrived and they were standing before the monument, you know what a monument is, don't you? It's an idol. An idol. It's an idol. Don't you want to let me put up a doll of me and you can worship it? This is an idol. Y'all worship. When they'd all arrived, standing before the monument, a herald shouted out, O people of all nations and languages, this is the king's command. When the band strikes up, you are to fall flat on the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a flaming furnace. I'll just go on. So when the band began to play, everyone, whatever his nation, language, or religion, fell to the ground and worshiped the statue. But some officials went to the king and accused some of the Jews of refusing to worship. Your Majesty, they said to him, you made a law. Is that in your Bible too?
Yep.
You made a law that everyone must fall down and worship the gold statue when the band begins to play. And that anyone who refuses will be thrown into a flaming furnace. But there are some Jews out there, specifically Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of Babylon affairs, who have defiled you. You notice how they turned that? Who have defiled you, refusing to serve your gods or to worship the gold statue you set up. Now, do you all see the dilemma? Is there no dilemma here? You all not see anything? I'm not getting any answers here. There is a dilemma. Let me show you the dilemma. One is that a king that did not mean any evil was convinced by those around him to set up an idol. A gold statue of Nebuchadnezzar. Somebody else convinced him to do that. Then it went through Senate and Congress, House of Reps, and all that kind of stuff. They voted it through. And it became a law. This was not just the wish of the king. This was a law. And everybody knows that the Bible says you must obey the laws of the land. So now we have a dilemma. Do we break the law? No. We'll see. We just did. Why? Because we serve a higher law. Is that correct? There is no government other than the government of God. There is no law higher than the law of God. And unless we understand that and obey it, we are not truly the children of God. So they had to resist the law. Now, why in the world would anyone resist the law?
In order to fulfill the higher law.
Okay, good answer. But look, all it was a little bow. That's all it was. Come on, I'm talking like I'm the devil's advocate right now because this is what's told to us every day as we face decisions. It's the same thing. It's just a little bow. It won't cost you anything, and it won't offend your God. I promise you, he's a God full of grace and mercy. It's better to go ahead and sin and ask for forgiveness than make somebody mad. Come on, all of you have heard this. Don't act like I made this up. I'm not that smart. It's just a little bow. Don't stand up in the middle of a bunch of people that have bowed before the king and see you're the one taking all the risk now. And I don't see God standing with you. Why did God let them pass that law if it was the way it was not supposed to be or whatever? Verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a terrible rage, ordered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be brought in before him. The king. Do you understand that this Nebuchadnezzar loved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? This was a friend. They were friends. He put them in high places of rulership. He'd never think that they'd betray him. Let me tell you a little secret. Many times when our friends or our situations think that we've betrayed them, we haven't. We stood for right, which helps them. The truth will set them free, the Bible says. The truth will set them free, not your obedience to some goofy thing that somebody's asked you to do. Nebuchadnezzar says, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you were refusing to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I set up? I'll give you one more chance. You mean nice. I'll give you one more chance. With a tear in his eye, I'll give you one more chance. Please don't break my heart. Now he's got these three people have their heartstrings being tugged out from both directions. Nebuchadnezzar's a friend. Writes the paychecks. And he's saying, I want to be nice. I'm going to give you one more chance. When the music plays, if you fall down and worship the statue, all will be well. Here's the last temptation. If you just do it, everything's going to be okay. But if you refuse, you'll be thrown into a flaming furnace within the hour. And listen to this. And what good or what God can deliver you out of my hands then? See, now we can have a party. Now we know why the stairs are there. Now we know why the problem is there. Because now it's Nebuchadnezzar's God against the real God.
That's right.
Is God going to fail this time? All right, that's the attitude we need to take. God's not going to fail this time. Surely, the man is saying, you don't want to die over just a bow. This is how little it gets sometimes, the war. Surely you want to die over just this little bow. Don't make me look bad in public. I've told you to do this, you got to do it. And now that I've said it, I got to do to you what I promised. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, give us this faith, God. We're not worried. We're not worried. Why were they not worried? Was there a furnace?
Yes.
Was there fire?
Yes.
Was there a law?
Yes.
Could the man back it up?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Why were they not worried?
They had a God.
A real God. One that they know never leaves nor forsakes. They know that.
Right.
They know that never fails. You know what? Kind of the little sign over here, goofy as you may think it sounds, it says, faith is fear that said its prayers. Boldness is fear that said its prayers. These people, don't you think they were rattling just a little bit, their knees were clicking just a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
They saw the fire, they saw the guards, they saw the king, they saw everything. The package was there to destroy them. Here's what they said, we are not worried about what will happen to us. Here's the key. If you're not worried about dying, you're not afraid of a threat. There has to be a bigger threat than dying. Because my Bible says to be absent here is to be present with the Father. So scare me. If we are thrown into the flaming furnace, our God is able to deliver us. So give it your best shot. And He will deliver us out of your hand, Your Majesty. They were even nice. Go ahead. Let me tell you what He's really saying. If you throw us in and we die, you still have no control over us. You don't have it now, and you never will. Is that bold? Okay. But if He doesn't, please understand, sir, that even then, we will never, under any circumstances, serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have erected. Now, most people see this as if we die. That's not what He said. He said in the verse before, if we die, we're still out of your hands. What's He saying here? But if He doesn't deliver us from the furnace, why would anybody that's fixing to go in the furnace say we still won't bow? Are you hearing what I'm telling you? He said, if He does, if you throw us in the furnace, we're walking out. And we're still not going to bow to your God. Come on, that'll excite you a little bit. What they knew is that God never failed, no matter what. Are we that smart? Are we that bold? Do we really know that God is planning a victory that comes with every problem? Then Nebuchadnezzar was mad, filled with fury, and his face became dark with anger at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He commanded that the furnace be heated up 7 times hotter than usual and called for some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the fire. So they bound them tight with ropes, threw them into the furnace, fully clothed. And because the king in his anger had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames leapt out and killed the soldiers as they threw them in. Number one, the fire was real. Don't think this was some ghost story or a little made-up thing. There were 7 dead men that proved that the fire was real. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down, bound into the roaring flames. But suddenly, as he was watching, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we throw 3 men into the furnace?" "Yes," they said, we did indeed, Your Majesty." "Well, look, I see 4 men. They are not bound. They are walking around in the fire, and they aren't even hurt by the flames. And your version is a lot more real, it says. And the 4th looks like the Son of God." Now, the most exciting part of this, you talk about something to jump about, there was no Son of God yet. This is Old Testament. And all of a sudden, because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego took a bold stand for God, God not only revealed God, He revealed the Son of God coming. Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the open door of the flaming furnace and yelled, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God." He changed his story. All of a sudden, he's afraid to say anything else. He might be the 8th man dead laying there. "Servants of the Most High God, come out here. Come here." So they stepped out of the fire. Then the princes, governors, captains, counselors crowded around them and saw that the fire hadn't touched them. Not a hair of their heads were singed. Their coats were unscorched. They didn't even smell like smoke. I've gone into restaurants and come out worse than that. They didn't even smell like smoke. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, for He sent His angel to deliver His trusting servants when they defiled the king's commandment, and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own." What God needs is some more people that are ready to die rather than be threatened to death. Amen. "Therefore, I make this decree." Now you want to see the blessing to the kingdom? You want to see the blessing to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? The promise is fulfilled by a God that's just looking for somebody to stand strong? "Therefore, I make this decree that any person of any nation, language, or religion who speaks a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and his house knocked into a heap of rubble. For no other God can do what this one does." Amen. Anybody got a testimony?
Hallelujah.
If you don't, God needs to give you one. In other words, you need a fiery attack on you so that you can stand up, come through it, and give God the glory. Amen. For no other God can do what this one does, right? Okay. You know, a problem is, remember I mentioned the eye doll a while ago? Too many times what we do is we do all we can do and then hope that God does something. And that's not the procedure. The procedure is to know that God's going to take care of it, and then we just go on about our way. Doesn't mean we lay back and don't do anything. But we need not to depend on what we can do to get us out of situations, because there is going to be a situation come up in your life that you can't do anything about it. Then you learn that's a bad time to learn to trust in God. You may not make it. You haven't had enough practice. God's a good God. He doesn't throw those kind of things in your way. Did you know He promises you that there's nothing that ever crosses your path that He hasn't given you a way to overcome it? So for those that need the time frame or the timeline to learn, God's got you under in His radar. He's got you. He knows where you're at, and He's never going to let anything come on you that you can't handle. If a lawyer threatens to sue you over a contract that was illegal, then you're to say, you have no power over me. I serve a God that can do things that you can't do. Tell a lawyer there's something he can't do and watch him get mad. Now, we know. Oh, let me do the rest of this. Then King gave promotions to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego so that they prospered greatly there in the province of Babylon.
Praise God.
Anybody here want to prosper?
Yes.
Yeah.
Then look for some fire and don't be afraid. That's a great message, isn't it? Now, you all know that I went literally through a fiery furnace. I went through there, and even though I was burned, and even though all the prognostications of the diagnosis said that you will never be the same. You won't have ears. You won't have eyes. I mean, noses. You're just going to look terrible. We had some people, including myself, that were standing in faith and saying, no way. Don't receive your report. It is opposing to the report of the Lord. The report was you're going to be in here 6 weeks. The first time we'll stabilize you if you live. We'll get you stabilized. You go home. You wait a while. Then we'll come back and we'll start the years of grafting. No. What do you mean no? Don't you know who I am? Yeah, I do. You've got a title in front of your name that God allows you to carry, and He can take it away from you anytime He wants. And right now He's taking it away from you. You're not the doc here. The Supreme Physician is. You don't have the last word. And instead of 6 weeks, 10 days with brand new skin, brand new hair, brand new everything replaced, I might tell you better than before. And I never smell like smoke. Smell like other stuff, but not like smoke. Never had any pain. Ever seen anybody burned, didn't have pain? Went in the hot waters to wash off all the dead skin. I never hurt. Nurses and doctors go outside where my dad was standing by. I said, what is going on here? We don't understand this. This cannot be. People faint in that place because the pain is so high. Dad would say, there's no God like my God. Anybody get a testimony? You don't have to give it now. Just remember. Just remember. In the face of a battle, you remember the lion and the bear. What does that mean? That means the next thing that comes up in your life, remember the last victory. And it'll help you get through this one. By the way, let me ask you something. And I do. If there's a negative response here, I want to hear it. You may not like my response, but I still want to hear it. Does anybody here think that God has ill will for them in any way? Let me ask you, before anybody answers, let me ask you another question. Do you think that God needs another Jesus?
No.
You think the one was enough?
Yeah.
So He really doesn't need a death, a martyr, a hanging on the cross, a punishment, a torture? Does He need that in your life to accomplish what He's up to?
No.
Because it's already been accomplished, right?
Right.
What's been accomplished? Your salvation, the enemy's destruction,
yes.
And the proof of that. Death, burial, and resurrection. And I might remind you that the Scripture says that if that same Spirit that dwells in you, in Christ Jesus, dwells in you, He'll give life to your mortal body. That means He'll take you out of the grave you think you're in.
Yes.
He didn't say, except for you. I pointed at the one guy that couldn't see me point. I don't know if that was good or bad. But He's on His way to seeing. Someday you're going to see me point, Richard. Whatever situation, whatever heartbreaking situation that we're facing, looking at, All it is a step to the next level in Christ Jesus. It's an upward step, glory to glory, the Bible calls it.
That's right.
Just remember that. That's why we shouldn't... I'm raised in several generations that are afraid of fights. They're afraid. Since the hippie generation, when everybody thought that Vietnam was bad, and I did too, but we all approached it in different directions, or from different directions. From that time, we felt like the drugs are peace, our flowers, or whatever stupid thing that people can think of was the remedy to the evil generation. God is the only solution to any evil, no matter what generation. Amen? And it's not our protesting, it's not our fear, it's not our laying down and acting stupid. I still get so mad at old hippies. And by the way, Colorado is full of them. I want you to believe. How many of you have ever given birth to anything without some pain?
No, sir.
Have you ever seen a birth of anything that didn't come with pain?
No.
So what do you say? No more births?
No way.
Do you teach your children, don't ever have a kid? It hurts too much. And yet we do that in the spirit. Instead of the church teaching people, let's look for the next battle. Because I want to see God promoted. I want to be promoted. I want the church to be promoted. We say, oh, that can't be God. It's too much pain. Hey, by the way, let me ask you something. You just heard the story. How much did it say Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego hurt?
None.
Did I tell you that I went through the same thing and there was no pain?
Yes.
Where's our faith? Do we have to hurt in the battle or can we just have the battle?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to give you another scenario and I'm going to try to make this as short as I can. So, long story. It covers multiple chapters. I'd forgotten how many chapters it covered. I'm not going to do that to you this morning. But it's another scenario. Now, this is a little bit of a threat on top of the promise, okay? You can promise your children the moon. And once in a while, to get them to the moon, they got to take a little bit of threat, right? And maybe a little more. Let's just say it starts in Exodus chapter 3. The people of God were in captivity. They were being tortured and they were being misused and mistreated. And they quit trying to put up with it, and they decide to cry out to God. Help, God. That's two words you can ever learn. Verse 7, start 7 and 8. And the Lord, chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land. Now, is God the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Yes.
So when you're in captivity of some type, problems of some type, do you think it's God's will to leave you there or bring you up into a good and large land flowing with milk and honey?
Milk and honey.
So we know His will for us, right?
Yeah.
To the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now, do you know what God just said? I'm going to take you into the land of your enemy. I don't know if you know that or not, but that's what that said.
Right.
Here's our problem. I preached not too many months ago that nearly every time we go to God, we have the agenda. Remember?
Yeah.
God, I have this problem. This is what I want you to do about it. Now, isn't that the way we pray?
Yeah.
God, my friend has this problem. This is what I want you to do about it. By the way, God cuts you off at this is my problem. He's really not interested in hearing your solution, because if you had the solution, you'd have already done it. Right? A little harsh? It's the truth. Set you free. When we ask God to deliver or do something for us, we must be willing to accept His procedure. And therefore, we must know that if there's a problem and we don't like the procedure, we still got to go through the procedure. Any mother here would know that when it comes time to give birth, they just as soon go around the procedure. But see, that's not an option from God, so you either got to have a child or not have a child. It's really up to you. Just understand what you're getting into. Now jump down to Exodus chapter 33, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought into the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it." Now, Don't you like it when the word is real to you? Well, here's some realists. Moses, get up and take the people out of where you let them into. Does your Bible say that? First verse. Depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt. You brought them in. Get them out. Sound like a right procedure to me. And I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, brother. I will send an angel before you, and I will drive. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? Okay.
Right.
And I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey. Look at there. He said the same thing. He's going to say the same thing over and over and over here for a number of chapters. Do you think he's stopped saying? Okay. Let's jump down to Leviticus. Chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 23. Now here is the same command. We hear it now that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were obeying. And you shall not walk in the statutes of the nation which I am casting out before you. You shall not walk in their statutes. What does that mean to us today? Go out and be a lawbreaker? That's not what I'm saying. Not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you obey God's law first, and you won't have to worry about the rest of it. That's
right.
What I'm saying.
Right.
For they commit all things, and therefore I abhor them. But I've said to you, you shall inherit their land. And I will give it to you to possess, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, who has separated you from the peoples. Now the Bible says that you are a people that is supposed to be sanctified. That means set apart. That means somewhere in your life activities, somebody out there better know that you don't belong to this earth. Or you're not being the person you're supposed to be. Don't become part of what God is destroying. Don't become part of that. Jump down to Numbers, chapter 13. Numbers, chapter 13. Now, do you know why that it's taken so many chapters to accomplish this? Because they didn't obey. God was ready to do it the first time He said it. And they kept saying, Amanda, what if? What if? What if? What if? What if? Remember Wednesday night? What if? What if? But what if? But what if? And we're full of it. You don't what if God. God's got the what if taken care of.
Right.
Everything you can think of, He's already covered. And He's covered things that you can't even think of. Far beyond anything that you can think or ask, the Bible says.
Right.
All right. Numbers chapter 13, verse 17. This, when I looked at this, I could not believe this. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. Hey, look up at me. Why? Why? That's the first thing that yelled in my spirit. Why? You had the promise of God. What do you think you're spying out? Who do you think you are? You're going to make a judgment call on what God has said? We get too big for our britches sometimes. He sent them out to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up into the mountains. Check on God, see if He's really there. And see what the land is like. I thought God had told them what the land was like. How many times do we scope it out before we just walk in? And how many blessings do we miss out on because we're scoping it out? By the way, was this a land of milk and honey?
Yeah.
Was it a promised land?
Yeah.
What did they need to do? Scope it out or enter in?
Enter in.
All right. No. When you say that growl, it helps you. Enter in. Yeah, there you go. That helps. Makes you feel better. See what the land is like. Whether the people who dwell there are in it are strong or weak, few or many. Whether the land they dwell in is good or bad. Whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds. Whether the land is rich or poor. Whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage. How can you be of good courage when you're not trusting God? This is not an act of faith. This is an act of... And bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grape. Now we're going to, you know what we're going to enter into now? The minute we open ourselves up to checking it out, then we have to decide whether we're going to check, we're going to believe our senses or we're going to believe God. Did I get that one? Did you get that one? The minute we decide to check out God, now we're going to be tempted by the senses. If I have any sense, I'll never pay any attention to my senses. So they went up and spied out the land. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch. They cut down a branch of one cluster of grapes. They carried it between the two of them on a pole. One cluster of grapes. Now, I've seen some pretty good clusters of grapes, but I never had to have assistance to haul it. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out of the land after 40 days. Now, this must have been a real dangerous place. They spent 40 days there. Did you ever look at the scripture and wonder how crazy people can be? Well, look in the right. We're the living epistle right now. Just it gets nutty sometimes. They departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They brought back word to them and all to the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is some evidence. Nevertheless," I wish we'd take that word serious. Nevertheless. We ought to just look at God's promise and say, nevertheless. Nevertheless. But they did it the opposite way. Nevertheless, but. Now who's becoming the but? Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. We are not. Is that what's being said here? Yeah, we're not. Our God's not. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and all along the banks of the Jordan. I thought God said he'd take care of that. They must not believe him. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession. God said so, for we are well able to overcome it." Because God said so. He said he'd send the angel ahead. That's what the preacher's now saying. Man, what are y'all talking about? Let's get going. Did you see the grapes? How many of you have seen the grapes in the Word? Have you even seen the milk and honey? But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." This is the major enemy of the Christian. They think that everybody's stronger than them. I got some news for you. That nobody's stronger than me. Are you hearing me? Nobody. Why? Because I'm in Christ Jesus, my Bible says. Hallelujah. So you ain't wrestling with me. You're wrestling with the Word. Yeah. Praise your Lord. Verse 32, "And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants.'" How would they know that? They weren't devoured. Would you believe somebody that said everybody over there goes in there and dies and they're back telling you? That doesn't make any sense. Hey, listen. Listen carefully to the people that bring you bad reports and you'll find out they're bunk. They're full of it. People that bring you bad reports are not telling you the truth. Therefore, the truth is not being revealed. "And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. Therefore, we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight." Did y'all get that formula?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, just in case you say yes, I'm still going to tell you. We felt like little bitty worms or grasshoppers in their sight, so they felt the same way. That's what it says. That's what it says. If I don't feel like a worm or a grasshopper, nobody will see me that way. If I feel like I'm defeated, if I feel like that I don't have any foundation to stand on, they're going to see me that way. I'm going to smell like a worm instead of like a child of God. The enemy can smell fear. Now Numbers 14, verse 1. "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'If we only had died in the land of Egypt, or if we only had died in the wilderness.'" Now, let's use some sanity just for a second. If you knew you were going to die in Egypt, die in the wilderness, or die in the land of honey, where would you rather die? And these dummies are saying, "I wish we'd have died back there in bondage. I wish we'd have died out in the wilderness." Don't listen to them. They don't know what they're talking about. Hey, listen. Listen to the Word of God. God will give you brilliance and wisdom about it. This is good stuff. They were having a real loud pity party. And out of pity parties comes extreme nonsense. "Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword?" Where in the Scripture did it say, "I'm leaving you to this land to die by the sword"?
The
So it was their word instead of the real word.
Right.
Okay. That our wives and our children should become victims. Would it not have been better us to return to Egypt? Oh, yeah, it was a great life. Woo-hoo! Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua and the son of Nun and Caleb, the son of whoever, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. This can't be happening. This has got to be utter nonsense. Do you remember what God said? And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. What part of this didn't you understand? You're sitting here with nothing, and I'm telling you there's something, and you want to die here. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Sounds like something God said. Right. Now, what does it say? If the Lord delights in us, well, they've been led straight to the land of milk and honey, which means so far the Lord is delighting in them. Why would the Lord stop delighting in them? Only if you don't enter in. Only if you talk yourself out of the land of milk and honey. The only way you can stay out is to talk yourself out. Because you go with God, and he's not changing his mind. He's going to give it to you.
Amen.
Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land, for they are our bread.
Yeah.
When's the last time you looked at your enemy and said, you are my bread. Give me some butter. Their protection has departed from them. My word. Their protection is departed from them. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Give somebody an encouraging word so they can get stoned. What is wrong with people? Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? Said, now it's not having anything to do with the land of milk and honey. God said, how long will these people reject me? What does that tell you right off the bat? Is God in the land of milk and honey or in the wilderness of Egypt? So he wasn't saying, go in there and I'll be right in. He was saying, this is where I dwell. Come on in. I wasn't in the land of Egypt. I don't dwell there. I don't dwell in the wilderness. I'm here in the land of milk and honey. And I've been trying to get you here forever. Don't rebel against me. And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? Remember the signs? Good gracious. Go back to the deliverance from the land of Egypt. Look at the plagues that delivered them. Look at them. You'll go back and study. I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them. And I will make you a nation greater than and mightier than they. That was just for them, right?
No.
Just for them and just for then.
No way.
You think he might still be the same way today, right?
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to read all the rest of this because you know what happened. God got mad. God said, I'm going to get rid of you guys. You are a pain. Moses goes and pleads for the people. The Bible says God listens to the pleading of Moses and he doesn't destroy him. Well, God is so full of grace and mercy that he went ahead and let him go in anyway. Now, come on, that's the preaching of today. That's the preaching. Just commit all the sin you want, ask for forgiveness, it's okay. Disobey God all you want, you'll still be blessed. That's what's the preaching of today. The preaching of today is a lie. The preaching that God gives is the truth.
That's right.
These people wandered in the wilderness where they asked to be. Remember that? Where they asked to be. We always talk about it being the punishment of God. Bullcorn, it's where they asked to be. We just talked about that. Why didn't you leave us in Egypt? Why didn't you leave us in the wilderness? So God let them in the wilderness. Still did miracles to protect them, but they never got to the promised land. This is the second scenario. Which one do you choose? You want to be part of that tribe that walks into a blazing fire no matter what?
Yeah.
Or you want to be the part of the tribe that sees tremendous things and says, y'all like that? You know, I like this message because it just makes me ugh it. Makes me sick of it. It just reinforces my attitude that I just assume walk into the fire right now. Let's go. Let's go find one. Let's go kick a Nebuchadnezzar in the knee. Let's say, all right, you want to wrestle? It's my God against yours. Let's see. You say this will happen. I say it won't. Let's go. You know who entered into the promised land? and the next generation. Those two. The two that gave the good report, because God promised if they would obey, they'd get the promised land. Here's the dangerous part. Watch out who you're hanging around, because you may end up losing your blessing, or not losing it, but retarding it for quite some time. I heard a preacher say the other day, there should be nothing easier in your life to get rid of than an idiot. That's a little harsh, isn't it? But people that stand out inside of a gate looking in the promised land, seeing grapes it takes two men to carry, and saying, we can't handle it, they're idiots. Get rid of them. I don't usually preach like this. I'm sorry. But this is the truth. I'm just telling you the truth. We need to determine what is good for us and what is not. The next generation that decided the promised land, the wilderness was not a great place and the promised land was we were ready to go in, they're the ones that got it. I don't want to miss out on mine. How about you? We have a choice. We can trust God or be promoted. Or trust our senses and our feelings and wander and wander and wander and never receive the promise and extreme blessings God has and wants to give to us. Now, first you have to believe that God wants to bless you. And if you can read the Bible and tell me anything else, there's something wrong with your reader. Sorry. The Bible says, choose you this day. Make the right decision in a time of challenge or in an impossible situation and watch promotion. Hey, by the way, is promotion based on what somebody else says or what you say? You know, every once in a while, I get... How many of you, I know you never do this. Nobody in here ever feels sorry for themselves, right? So I'm just going to be the one. I'm the one that feels sorry for myself once in a while. Every once in a while. But God, I've done this and I've done this. And the Spirit of God will hit me and look. I see blessings like you wouldn't believe. And I have to go to my wife and say, we are extremely blessed. Do you know that? And I'm not saying things that aren't as if they already are. I'm calling things that already are that are. That means I can free myself into the next bunch of blessings that I walk in. Power and authority. Promotion. We go down to Texas. I haven't been down there in a while. In fact, I haven't been in this church for 2 or 3 years. And I walk in. Set. We're always set wherever Paul sits. That's where we sit. The guy gets up there and he says, I know you. I know your church. You come from a prophetic church. I want you to preach for us. The next time you get an opportunity, let me know. I'll send you an airline ticket and you come and preach for us. In fact, what he said is, he said, come and preach. He said, no. I didn't know anybody was arguing with you. No, we're going to fly you here. Okay? All right. This is maybe what I tell him right here. This may be what I tell him. Sounds like a good message. Yeah. He wants prophecy. Let's tell him the truth. Then we prophesy. Yeah. Now, here's the questions you need to ask yourself every day. Is God in all I do?
Yeah.
Do I serve him? Or do I serve somebody else's idea of him? Does he reward those that serve him?
Yes, he does.
Then I can look at the situation, and my spirit, my senses are going to say, but what about this situation? See, it's all right to say, God's in all I do, I serve him, and he blesses, but then I have to bring it down to this point right here. What about this situation?
Yeah.
This one, right here, right now. Well, what do? I fall back on what I just said. He's in what I do. I serve him, and he blesses. But the situation is screaming. No, you can't talk as loud as my God can talk.
Amen.
The Bible says one day he'll just make a noise and it'll be heard around the world. That's pretty loud. Will you fail him and you? Or will you just go ahead and walk into it? The only way you're going to walk into impossible situations is to know that you're a winner. You're a winner in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Not because you say so, because God says so. Because
yeah.
God has said that about you. He says, all you need to do is just serve me. Do you realize that the people that we talked about here on this latter scenario were not really all that good at serving God? Mm-hmm. That's for those that think you have to be perfect. They weren't very good. Moses wasn't very good. He was intimidated by the people. The people can just believe whatever comes along. First time he turns his back and goes up to get a promise from God, they build an island and they go worshiping everything in the world, dancing and goofy drugs and all kinds of stuff. They were not good people. And God said, just do what I tell you to do. All you have to do is do what I tell you to do. Even Moses, clucky Moses, he goes up and he gets a tablet shaved out of a rock by the hand of God, and the finger of God comes and writes the commandments on there. And he sees the people upset, and so he throws that rock down and breaks it. He should have kept that just for historical purposes, if that's all it was for. Gracious alive. And gracious God says, we're going to write these again, but you're going to carve them this time. So you not, you evidently this rock that I wrote in wasn't valuable. You're going to learn the value of it. Come on. God's a good God. He's a smart God. He knows what he's doing. And sometimes when we don't learn it the easy way, we have to learn it the hard way. But he wants us to learn it. Why? Because it's good for him, it's good for the kingdom, and it's good for you. Amen? Amen. Now, one word that God just reminded me of. When we were down in that congregation, he called me to the front after. He preached on, once again, wanting to resurrect the prophetic in his church. He said, because you're here, I know this message is from God. After the whole thing's over, after he's given people time to speak what God has spoken to them, he calls me up and he says, I want you to tell us what God has spoken to you. The strangest thing, God spoke to me about me, not about them. It's God's way, right? And I'm sitting there and I can't hardly talk because I've been touched by the voice of God. This is a warning to everybody that thinks they're strong. He said this word to me. He said, Stan, you're a strong man. You don't have any trouble being strong. You've been taught to be strong. It's in your heritage and in your lineage. He said, sometimes you're so strong, you don't need me. There's never a time I don't need God. Never. And if I make that visible to anybody, I need to repent. My strength is in God. It's not in me. If I'm a strong man, it's something that God did. It's not something that I did. And he's made me be able to stand strong by the many, many battles and victories he's taken me through. Does it become easier? Absolutely it becomes easier. Praise God it becomes easier. I encourage you in that. It doesn't make any difference what battle you win. It gives you more strength for the next battle. So I repented. Publicly. I don't need my strength. God, I abhor my strength. I don't want it. Whatever way it needs to be removed, you remove it. Let me depend on yours. Do you think God encouraged these people? Did he tell them to be strong and don't fear? Deep down in here, we have to know where it's our strength or God's strength.
That's right. Yeah.
Will you fail him or you? Him and you? Or will you trust him with all your heart? You know what I just did? This is what God just showed me. I just got stars in my crown. You know why? Because I've increased your faith. You don't please God without faith. Isn't that what the Bible says? And if I can increase your faith, I'm pleasing God and so are you. We just increased the kingdom of God. I give him praise. I don't know how I could do anything but increase your faith. I'd have to work at it not to. You'd have to take it wrong. You'd have to work at it. God's a good God. Stand with me. This is the closest I've ever been to noon. Wow. Praise your Lord. I'm thankful that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm thanking that this is not a Bible story and this is true and real for me and you. I'm thankful that he hasn't stopped promising promised lands. He's got yours ready. How are we going to get there? Don't ask me, ask God. He's got it for you. Doesn't make any difference where you think. Can you imagine being any lower in the world and in your spirit than a place of Egypt being a slave? Nobody. I've never met anybody that was in the place of Egypt a slave. Can't get any lower than that. So whatever situation or problem or incident in your life that you're looking at, it's not as bad as those people's. Well, what are you saying, Stan? I'm saying he answered them. He'll answer you. Cry out. Amen. Just cry out. Just cry out. Say, God, help. I'm in bondage to my own beliefs. I'm in bondage to my religion. I'm in bondage to a weak God. I'm in bondage to whatever. Say it. Say it out loud. Say it till you understand that there's a God better than the one you're serving now. A God that wants to lift you up, put you in a higher place, promote you, protect you from danger, harm, and evil. The one that has already defeated the enemy. The one that's already provided healing and provision for you. He's already done that publicly. Don't ask him to do any more. There's not any more that can be done. He's done the very best already. Hallelujah. I might get excited. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now let's just trust that God that we talk about. Let's believe him a little more until he's the only thing that matters. Praise you, Lord. Now, as always, I'm going to ask you, are hearts clear this morning? Or do we need to pray? Do you need to have someone pray with you? Do you need to know God? Do you need to know him better than you've known him? Do you need somebody to stand with you in a problem or a situation? Whatever the need may be, God is here this morning. We are here to help. We love you. God loves you. I don't care who you are. If you have that need, please, you can come forward. You can stay right where you are. You can raise your hand. Somebody can come minister to you. It doesn't make any difference. Let's just get her done. Let's get her done. I like that. Let's get her done. God's saying it out loud now. Let's get her done. Let's correct our path and our course. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We honor you right now, Father, as the healer, as the deliverer, as the King and as the Lord. And we say to you, there's no God like you. There's no God like you. I will say publicly to everybody that listens, I've never seen the things done by the flesh that I've seen done by God. And you haven't got enough time to hear about all the miracles. I'm sold. I'm convinced. I'm trying to convince you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.
And we feel very convicted of what we've heard, and we know that we need to quit trusting in our strength and allow God to change us into what he's already got planned.
What's the threat? Come on, we won't laugh at the threat. What's the threat? You lost your work. You lost your income. You may have to do this for God. You may have to do that for God. It's a scary... Are these the threats? I know a couple of them. Is there any more? We might as well laugh at them. Come on, let's go. What are they? Don't be afraid. What are they? You're not up to the task, right? You're a terrible person. You've done all these things and that, and you can't do the work of God. It's impossible. You big mouth, ugly piece of... Doesn't the devil say the same thing to everybody?
Yeah.
You don't have the right education. You don't have the right this. You don't have the right that.
Right.
We need to learn that.
That's right.
You can't talk well enough. You talk too much. Come on. Am I saying what the devil says? Right? You don't think you're the first people that have been told that, right? You know what Moses said? I can't talk very well. Right there. He said it. I read it this morning. He can't talk very well. The house market's drying up. Don't build. The house market's drying up. You're not going to have provision. Can't have these houses to build. You believe that, don't you?
Believe in our God.
There you go. You don't believe in those things I just said, right?
No way.
Even if I said them like the devil said them, you don't believe those, right?
Nope.
Good. You're encouraging us. Hallelujah. The devil's a liar. If he wasn't, he'd be God. There's a war going on for you and you and you and you and everybody in here. There's two wars, bad and good, life and death, blessings and curses. The devil is faithful. The devil is faithful. He's faithful to try to destroy what God is setting up. You just need to be a little more faithful than him. His fate is sealed. Don't seal yours with him. His fate is sealed. He's a loser. Father, you heard the cry of their heart. Even though I didn't get everything out, we got the majority of the garbage, and we just curse it to hell from where it came. I'm glad you touched them. I'm glad you convicted them by this word. I am so proud of you, Lord, that you would do that for them. Now what I ask by the Spirit of the living God, by the word of God in Jesus' name, that you touch them now with the quiet, unassuming confidence that it takes to do the work of God. The quiet, unassuming confidence that it takes to do the word of God. That means surety that I can do what God has asked me to do.
Yes.
Surety that God will never leave me nor forsake me.
Right.
That what he has started in my life, he is sure to finish.
Yes.
And nothing can stop God. Lord, heal. I ask you to do for them what you did for me one time. It's erase their memory. Erase their memory.
Yes.
Most of it's just petty nonsense anyway, but just erase it anyway. Give a good light to it like I've tried to do here this morning. Let them see the future and not the past. Make them understand that God put our eyes forward and not backwards.
Yes. That's right.
That we are to look forward and see those things that are coming, the land of promise that's coming, and not worry about Egypt. And not let our goofy flesh try to take us backwards. Give them a love for you that's greater than the love for anything they've ever had in their lives. Give them a love in their heart for you that's greater than the love in the heart for each other. Let them lust after you more than they lust after each other. Let them hunger and thirst for the things of God more than things that they can get. Praise you, Lord. Save them again, right now. Save them again, right now. It's okay. You said your word and your blessing and your presence are new every morning.
That's right. Hallelujah.
New every morning. Let their salvation, give them the feeling right now that they're born again.
Yes. Hallelujah.
That it's a new day today. Yes. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let them know that they're not flying solo. Yeah. That the instructor is in the seat.
That's right. Yeah.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hey, y'all be seated. You're healed. You're healed. Everybody agree they're healed?
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else?
Amen.
I'm excited. Anybody else?
Yeah.
What's up, Richard? No, they're down. You want them up. Right?
Just as soon as I start making headway in my finances, I get a $900 hospital bill. I'm paying student loans $16,000.
No joke. Do you think anybody in this place that's heard this word this morning is not going to be attacked as soon as they walk away?
Oh, yes.
It's common to man, right?
Yes, sir.
But you're not afraid?
No.
Man, listen to me. You're a man that walks without sight in a world that requires sight, and you're still overcoming.
Amen.
You're already ahead of most of us.
Right.
You know that?
Yes.
You're not weak. You're strong.
Amen.
You conquer things in the dark that we can't even conquer in the light.
Right.
You're already ahead of us, man. Now, I ask God to give you provision and to give you strength and to give you wisdom and knowledge to obey, to not be weak, but to be strong, not to use a disability against people, but to use it for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You don't require of the world anything you require from God, His word becoming life and real in you.
Yes.
We curse the debts, we curse it, and we speak the debt into prosperity. God takes what was meant for bad and turns to good, right?
Right.
And you expect that in your life, right?
Yes, sir.
Because the word promises. That's not because right. Stan gets you excited, but because the word promises Richard.
That's right.
And Richard is going to stand on the word in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I've prophesied to you before strength, and I'm going to say it to you again. This world needs one more strong man, and you need to volunteer.
I'm volunteering.
In Jesus' name, it's done.
It's done.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Anybody else? Real quick. No, you already got that. You understand you already have that? Boldness, faith, peace. What else did you say? I don't even have that yet. You got gone.
To be a mirror to two specific people in my life. But I don't feel like I'm a good mirror.
Oh, you're terrible. I've been around you. You're the worst kid I've ever seen in my life. Now, this is what the devil says, right? All the time. Let's expose him. Let's don't keep what he says to us as a something in here that he eats. Man, someday you need to walk up to your dad and say, you know what the devil told me this morning? Is it right? You know what he's going to say?
No.
Anything the devil says is wrong. Anything that God says is right. He's going to reiterate that. And I'm telling you now, you're not less, you're more. God's got a design for you and your life. He had it before the foundation of the earth. I read it in the Bible. It's got to be true.
That's right.
Right? Quit letting the devil tell you you're less than you are. Remember what I told you? Be quiet. Be quiet. When the battle's going on, get quiet and say, God. You don't have to say anything else but God. Say, God. And watch the devil flee. That's what the Bible says.
That's right.
God.
Amen.
You do that enough, you're going to find out, the devil finds out you're not fun to play with. That's right. She doesn't play right. She doesn't even play fair. She brings out all this truth.
You know what I'm reminded of is that whenever you came into this world, there was two of you. Weren't there?
Yep.
There was two of you. She was a twin. And God chose to have you here this day. A purpose and a plan. Because what you just asked for a while ago, boldness and peace and patience, that's Jesus. And you have
Ma'am.
Jesus,
Ma'am.
Right? And thank God for you.
Praise the Lord. By the way, you're not a winner because I said so or you said so. You said because, it's because God says so. Remember that. Everybody in here, remember, it's because God says so. Anyone else? Anyone else? Praise the Lord. That means all hearts are clear. Let me go ahead and pray because I didn't get finished at noon. That's y'all's fault, though. Do what?
As a
body. Okay. Well, you know what? And I'll say this because I agree with you. We all need lots of work. But the cool part is God already knew that before the foundations of the earth, looked over all of our flaws, and said, I can work it out.
Amen.
You got that. He said, I can work it out. Now all we got to do is believe that God's working this thing out. Why? Promised land has not changed. His promise is the same. He wants us in that place. Why in that place? He listed it in there. One, because those people need to be driven out. They're not producing for the kingdom of God.
That's right.
He said, what was the word he used? It was a strange word in that. It's kind of like, I'll divorce them. That's not, I'll uninherit them. Disinherit, same thing. I'll disinherit them. I'll leave that one alone. Except that God makes decisions based on our obedience. He doesn't cast us into hell because of disobedience. He took care of his people even when they were walking in sin. Or disobedience, not sin. Let's just use it right. Took care of them. You're safe. Please look at me for a second. You are safe. I did not preach this message to let you know you were not safe. You're safe. But who wants to be safe? I won't go into promised land.
Amen.
If that takes a little risk, so be it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I've been counted safe. Do you know that? Sozo, safe. You ever see a rep? I mean an ump? Safe.
Yeah.
Who contests that? Who can contest that? I've never seen a guy go back and change his mind about that. And so when God says sozo, he's going, safe. Now, what'd you say? Safe. See, every time we go to wine and he says, safe. Now, I got something to tell you. Get into the promised land. Okay, I'll let you preach that message one day. Hallelujah. Can you just for about 15 seconds, just kind of lift your hand and give God praise. Say, that's for me. Can you say, that's for me? That's for me. The promised land was for your people, and I'm your people. That's for me. Tell me what to do, and I'll do it. Come on, be bold enough to say it. Tell me what to do, and I'll do it. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. All right. I hate to let time like this end. Father, we love you. We believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that you gave me this message this morning. And I have delivered it as you requested me to do. Now I need some milk and honey. Not because I said so, but because you said so. But I don't want it by myself, Lord. Never have, never will. I want to lead thousands to that place. That's what I want, and I know it's what you want. So I yield to that in any way, shape, form, or fashion that you have designed. Give your people that same hunger and thirst and desire to do whatever it takes to exalt you in the process of them going into to the milk and honey. Let that be established today in Jesus' name, in love. And we thank you that it's done in advance in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen. You're dismissed.